on your mind this lovely November day?
Well, I'm just trying to figure out why Larry and Barry aren't on this call. Get on Zoom meeting with Rob. Sorry. So we have a call set up with our manager for tomorrow. Our manager ignored our email like for a week, and then we finally reached out again and copied his assistant on it. And we're like, hey, we're trying to set a meeting with you for real this time. So then he responds back, leaving his assistant off the email, asking her to schedule something with us. So I forwarded the email to
if you saw that. Yeah, she was not on there.
Yeah. Yeah, I forwarded it to his assistant and then worked out a time with everybody to get it on the calendar. So we were supposed to talk tomorrow morning with him. And apparently he wrote back to Barry and he's like, is everything okay? So maybe he's worried we're going to tell him we're leaving. We have a conversation with him there. Barry has met a private banker at Chase that he wants us to talk to as well, who has been there for 10 years and says he could potentially migrate $50 million in securities relationships if he were to end up at another firm. So he wants to have a discussion with this person. I found out about it about 20 minutes ago, and apparently we're talking after this call. So
distraction.
We'll keep you posted on that one. Look, at least he's thinking about expanding.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, he might be trying to get on the call. There's an iPad trying to get on this call. Is that you, Tim, or is that Barry or Larry?
Me. That's Barry.
Okay. I was just telling Rob about the guy you wanted us to talk to at Chase, about potentially having some opportunity there. Looks like Larry's logging in also.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was just hanging up with Dr. Riz.
Tim took the lead last week and helped us get some more plans done. So our management has definitely noticed that we've had a spike in plans. They've been begging people to do them. So when they look at the dashboard and see we did another 20, that plays favorably for us. We're having some more of those out of the... And, last week... clearly it was a pretty busy week with the markets and our focus was on, transactions. And, we were using the opportunity to buy into the market weakness. And I know I was able to place another few million dollars into our strategies last week. I told you we had a nice win for a $6 million placement for another advisor. So that we were able to get $2 million going last week, and there's more money coming. And then we just had a whole lot of adding 50s and 100s and 200s for other clients that have been kind of sitting on their hands a little bit, telling them to get some money working on that side of the fence. And we bonused Christine, the most generous bonus we've ever given her. So we stepped up and, basically doubled her Christmas bonus from last year and also caught her up to pay. So she probably made an extra $8,000 or $9,000 versus last year, which for her, I imagine she's making somewhere in the 75 to 85 area. So that would be a noticeable hike up. So hopefully she hates us less for the next couple of weeks. We need to sit down as a group and kind of do our business plan for next year. But like I said, it's just been a little busy with the what's been going on in the markets. Larry was able to get out and do some networking with some local business leaders at a golf outing with a good referral source of ours last week. So that was good. He was able to get out there. And I think Barry's also starting to hand off some more accounts to Tim and get more on board with, and Barry, you can speak for yourself too, but I think you're starting to see the get smaller to get bigger path a little bit more clearly for you. Just the way it seems like you're changing it.
Yeah. I've been seeing that for a long time though, which is why I've always had I've had a hard time parting with clients, but it is definitely been easier to just hand off some of the small stuff now and free up some more time.
Yeah. And Rob, I'm about 50 pages into Learned Optimism as well. So I've been cracking into that and
okay.
trying to get some of that done.
And so you're pretty optimistic that you'll finish it soon.
I'll tell you, I get about 100% of my reading done in night. At night, when my wife passes out at 9 o'clock on me, and
right.
my wife is one of those people that can fall asleep in the middle of a hurricane, except when it's time to actually go to bed, she cannot fall asleep in our bed unless I'm laying next to her somehow. So, you know, like we could be having a house party and she could be asleep on the couch with the lights on and the TV going, no problem. But as soon as comes time for her to get in bed, I have to be in bed next to her in order for her to fall asleep. So that means that I basically, it's either iPhone or Kindle. So I try to opt for the Kindle more than the iPhone, cut down on that blue light and actually accomplish something. So I actually was able to get some sleep last week, which was nice. I will be, you know, I am working through that book and I'm reading that instead of my international spy thriller novels at night right now. So maybe it's helping me fall asleep faster. I don't know, but you know,
right. I'm surprised you're not getting more sleep with that.
Well, yeah, we're getting there. And guys, just so you know, like Rob suggested, you know, one of the books that he was talking about was this Learned Optimism book, which talks about being a little bit more optimistic and less pessimistic, and that's something that I'm going to try to work on as a human being, generally speaking. It's easy for me to see what's wrong sometimes.
No, it's a fact that you can learn to be an optimist, and you'll live longer and be healthier if you're an optimist. So it's a choice, like being happy or not being happy, but you know, most people don't believe it. They're sort of they think they're born one way or the other, and so no, it's a skill. It's a skill like most of what we do is a skill.
Also, Tim set up a meeting with our regional compliance team about showing other advisors our performance levels in the models and strategies, and it was probably Tim's most frustrating meeting with management so far, where they basically told us we were not money managers, and you know, like they basically had everything to show us that was wrong with what we were trying to do, while simultaneously we're getting emails from other teams that are doing exactly what we're trying to do. So by sending out performance numbers and stuff like that. So we're working our way through that situation, but that's proving to be extremely aggravating considering, you know, we're up 20 year to date and we can't tell anyone about it via the firm because we're getting in trouble every time we share our performance.
Do they require that you be audited? Your numbers.
Well, that's what we're trying to figure that out. You know, whether we have to get GIPS auditing in here or you know, what we need to do. And also because we run an option strategy, there's some performance drift between accounts due to position size rounding and such. So we understand that it's a little bit of a difficult situation, but right now you could put a plus or minus 5% next to our number and they still look incredible, you know. So we're just trying to figure out like why some of the larger teams are able to send out all this information and we're not. So they may have Zephyr. I know one team it does have GIPS and I know one team does have Zephyr. That's the next step is us investigating the Zephyr stuff. Also, if we have Zephyr, that may make us owners of the information as opposed to the firms being owners of the information. So we may decide to pay for Zephyr not through firm funds. That way it's not anything that the firm owns. It's something we own. If it's a couple thousand a year, then we'll have to evaluate that aspect of it.
I would probably, try and get that. You may never get an answer from the firm. So I would plan on going ahead and doing that.
Zephyr outside?
Yeah, not with the firm's permission, but go ahead and get it done. Because that gives you credibility.
Right. Now, we did, Tim, do you want to talk a little bit about the call today with Carla?
Hmm.
Yes. Yes. Can you guys hear me or no? I'm trying to do my
yes.
speaker here. So I set up a meeting with Carla just because we wanted to continue on our road shows that we've been doing from branch to branch. And we wanted to see what the complex and region's answer was to COVID-19 and the ability for us to go visit. You know, we're half open there, all the way open. And so, you know, we had a good conversation. She had talked to us about virtual office hour, meaning, you know, between her and some of the complex managers, they're actually going to set up and schedule for us meetings throughout the course of a single day. And so, you know, we've already got a handful of other FAs that we're talking to about the brew strategy, which is our premier strategy that we manage, and also the way we do business just from a strategic partnership standpoint. And so, again, that's going to be facilitated at the highest level through Carla and the branch managers. And, you know, one thing, Ryan, if you're – I know you're not there, but you can probably still hear me. One of the things we've got to circle back with Karen on is in the context of doing those virtual meetings with other FAs, can we show them performance of indicative accounts through Zoom? You know, that's one way that we have done it in the past. And I'm hoping that that's one way that Karen Sanders is going to – Karen is our compliance officer – is going to write off on us to be able to do it during these virtual office hour sessions that Carl is going to set up. But, you know, we're excited to get the word out there. We haven't done it since just because COVID-19 kind of put us to the, you know, to the sidelines. But since then, performance has been great. And I know, Rob, you've heard us say this time and time again, but, you know, we're really doing well. We're outperforming and people need to hear it. And my biggest feedback was, you know, what if you've got terrible performing PM managers within the Morgan Stanley platform that are trying to shove their strategies down the throats of unsuspecting investors, there's a big level of risk there, at least from my perspective, that these people are getting kind of sold a bag of goods that's not exactly what they think it is. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
No, it's great, you know, and I think if you can get the audited, basically, the audited numbers, that gives you the credibility you need, you know. So, here you go.
Hey.
Bless you.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I mean, to kind of reflect on what Ryan said about the conversation we had with clients, it was, you know, Ryan and I had set up a conversation that we had hoped to be productive in that we were talking about different ways and methods and avenues to show performance, and the compliance person was just totally turned off and shut down from the get-go, and no was the answer. We didn't even ask the question yet, and it seemed like anything that we had to say, she just didn't want to hear, didn't want to listen to. So it was very frustrating, to say the least.
Well,
yeah. There's some stuff going on back channel that we weren't aware of, but they're having some problems with other people that are doing this and doing it correctly, where
right.
non-sanctioned documents are being shared, and then investors have had some issues with some of the programs, and they weren't allowed to get into anything with us, but we were able to pick up from what they were saying that there's some issues with this around the firm right now, and we're currently in the middle of an audit, and the last thing they want to do is give the auditors a reason to be on top of us.
Right. No, I mean,
right. This way, if we do it via Zoom, we won't have any of those issues either, Ryan.
Well,
hopefully.
We'll see.
No, you will.
Well, Ryan, I don't know if you heard me when I said that, but probably we'll have to nominate you to call Karen Saunders to see if Carla sets up these virtual office hours for us with the other branches and people are actually dialing in, we're going to have to see if we can show our performance through Zoom or through Skype. And that's probably a question better presented by you to her.
I was listening to everything. I just wanted to get a drink because I put you on mute because my kids were screaming. But yeah, I heard you. So we'll have to look into that. I don't know what they're going to allow and what they're not going to allow, but you know, it's frustrating from our side because we're sitting on a gold mine here. We're not able to do what we need to do.
But you got to remember that, I mean, this is real compliance issue. There are some that are BS compliance issues, but having people make up fake numbers and, you know, they get sued, they lose, they pay, you groan. So they gotta be smart. So this is not one of those, you know, fake compliance issue. It's real. So you guys have gotta have real numbers, and you gotta respect the fact that they're on the hook. And they're the ones that end up paying the bill. So there are times when I call BS on compliance, not this time. Okay? So you gotta get your audited numbers, and then once you do that, you follow the rules and don't mess up, you know, in terms of following the rules, you'll do great. This is like we said, it's 100 million we want to bring in. So that makes, you know, and you do that every year for 5 years. Now you got yourself a war chest, right? And that takes care of a lot of pain. So.
Yeah, it's great. We let other people work for us, and it's exponential. The money just keeps pouring in, even if it's just little by little. You know, Sandy called me today. He's got another 300,000 he wants to put in. And, you know, just like every day or two, we're opening new accounts for people.
Right.
Just climbing.
Right.
We're supposed to talk to our manager tomorrow about that. And just to hammer it home, I don't want to belabor the point or get on it too long, but you think first we ask for help with, you know, can you give us some more assistance, or can we get more assistant coverage?
Yep.
He comes back and hems and haws and says, oh, well, you know, hiring freeze, bullshit, coronavirus, da, 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 da. Then you suggest we go back and say, okay, we want to pay for our own. What does that process look like? And then say, if we pay for our own, if we get lift of X dollars, will you step up and help us? Or will you, you know, if we get 500,000 of additional revenue, will you come in and pay for half our salary, or, you know, whatever the situation is? Do you suggest we go that route? Because there is, and just in terms of the negative versus positive thinking, you know, on one of our team calls, we said, oh, he's never going to pay for it once we start paying for it. And, you know, I dropped that line on Rob, and Rob kind of snapped back at me but saying that's, I think you called it loser think or something like that. but basically was, you know, it's negative thinking. You know, what we should do is present it to management and expect that they're going to pony up and help us out as they see what radical growth we're experiencing. Right. You know, from your side as a manager, how would you, the firm standard has gone from 1.5 million to 2 million per assistant in the last few years as they continue to stretch resources. We're currently just between Barry, Larry, and myself, we're going to be about at 2.35 million this year. If you add Tim on, and then if you add Sandy on, who he's basically been merging into us. Now we're closer to 2.7-ish, maybe. So we're almost at a legitimate 1.5 people right now. You know, I could easily argue that we deserve some additional help, but we're definitely not at a full 2 people according to Morgan Stanley theory.
Right. What I would do would be know exactly what the numbers are, where you get to. So at 3, do you get 2, or where do you get 2? 4. Okay. So,
I mean, if we were 3.5 million and kicking ass every year, we could probably squeeze it out of them.
So let's just say that you did 3.5 next year, right?
God willing.
Next year, 3.5, and he pays half, right? And then 2022, you do 4.2, and he pays it all. Those aren't crazy numbers. And that's what you lay out for him. You show him your business plan. You show him what you're going to do, and you ask him to buy into that.
So we reflected on the numbers.
You get him to sign it.
Yeah.
And he signs it, Ryan.
No, that's true, though. You guys write it out. This is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. You guys have all signed it, and you got a place for him to sign it. And he signs it.
We got about 570,000 a lift this year. between the three of us. So we went from like 1.8 to like 2.35. And we added, almost 50 million in managed. I mean, we basically added a mid-tier financial advisor for him at half, of, you know, 600 grand of revenue and 50 million managed. That's like a mid-range hire.
Right.
So to speak.
So you're saying, you know, we're going to go from 2.7 to 4.2. That's like hiring a, you know, a $2 million team, right? Or $1.5 million team. So, you know, that is worth another person. And you miss it by $100,000. He's not going to kill you. You know, the idea is he's going to be happy for you. But you guys all then go, okay, cut the shit. This is real. You know, we're putting it out there. We're going to do it. We need to work.
So, you're writing it down.
You know, you try and make his decision. As
yeah, I'm writing down some notes, guys.
But okay. The idea is you make his decision as easy as possible. And if he says, look, I can't make this decision, you say, well, take it to the region and come back to us. I mean, you've got it in writing. You've got your commitment, what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. And he goes, and it's not just bringing in business from other guys. Like I said, that's, you know, out of the right hand into the left hand pocket. You don't want to, you want to bring in net new money from other firms and other things. And of course you will.
Yeah. Yeah. Like this, like the 6 million was actually new managed money for the firm. We took it from a boutique advisor that they're paying an outside fee to. So it's not new assets to the firm, but it's newly converted managed money. It's not like a, you know, sliding over one thing kind of situation. All right. So don't be afraid to say, take it to your boss and let us know.
Right. We understand, well, you know, look, yeah. Your hands are tied, but if you came and said, I've got $1.5 million recruit and I can get him in the next year, can I put him one-on-one? He'd say, sure.
Okay.
Right.
Sure. Yeah, they would hire an assistant to bring in $1.5 million, $2 million for sure.
Yeah. So that's all you're saying is, look, we're going to be that recruit.
Okay.
And all we're saying is you don't have to
save them expense.
You know, we'd like you to lead us, but you don't have to lead us. You just pick it up when we do it. So 50%, you know. Next year, 50%, year after, 100%. We don't do it. We own it.
Okay.
So no risk, really no risk to him, and you guys are going to add $1.5 million? Come on. Who could say no to that? What's his risk? None. So even if he has to take it to his boss for headcount purposes, there's no risk that they're going to be out of pocket.
Right.
There are some hard decisions and there are some easy ones. This is an easy one. But get everybody on your team to sign it. There's something about signing something that makes it real. And then have a nice little place for him to sign it.
So you think we actually draw up a contract and email it to him?
Yeah. And you've all signed it ahead of time.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to hurt.
No, it just says we're for real, guys. You know, this is not, we've given a lot of thought to this. We worked with our consultant. This is what we want to do. We think this is just one part of our overall business plan.
Now, do you suggest we tell him and say, look, we as a team have decided that we want to stay here and we want to grow here? Or do you suggest we frame it more like, we as a team have been trying to figure out the next 5 to 10 years of our practice. And, you know, we're trying to figure out a way to make Morgan Stanley, you know, make our team function better here at Morgan Stanley so we can continue to thrive here. You know, like our biggest pain point right now is this. No? That's what I'm asking.
No. I always said, look, I got a gun, you got a gun. Okay? You can shoot me, I can shoot you. Don't take your gun out unless you're going to use it.
Okay, so do you suggest to say, hey, we want to stay here?
No.
Or just don't even bring it up?
No. This is our strategic plan for the next 5 years. This is what we're trying to do. This is why we want you to help us succeed in the practice for the next 5 years.
Right. You're our strategic partner. You're the bank. We need you. We need a loan. We need leverage. We need leverage. Okay. And we're not asking for something we're not going to deliver on. So you're the bank. We're the company. We need you to come through when we do this. That's all. Here's our business plan. Look, you don't even want to bring that subject up. Okay.
Correct.
It's like threatening your wife with divorce. You know, there's no money in it. You'll never make more money or have more sex because you threaten her with divorce.
Well, no, but I'm saying, like, you know, you will if you give her a ring, you know, at least for a while. So, I mean, do we say, hey, you know, like, we want to stay here. We want to grow. Help us grow. I mean, like, I don't think there's anything wrong with us saying
we're going to stay here.
That only puts negativity in his mind. This is our plan for the next 5 years. You can see when we put our heads down what we can do. This is what we're trying to do. Nothing about any other firm going or other stuff. This is the plan. Just simple.
You don't need to worry about us. We're all in. I mean, that's, you don't say that, but that's what, we're your team. So when you're reassigning clients, think of us, right?
Okay.
We're the good guys. We're on your side.
How do we let them know that we have no intent, you know, without sounding too bold, that we have no intention of leaving so you can feel safe? You know, it would almost sound like BS if we said it to them.
That's why you can't say anything. We can go to them with this proposal and say this is what we're trying to hit.
I never thought any of my guys would ever leave, okay, as a manager. All right?
You're not him right now.
Tim got it pretty bad.
And they didn't leave, right, because we had a relationship, right? You don't think your wife's going to walk out on you tomorrow, do you? Do you sit around and worry about that? No, I didn't either. Okay. I didn't worry about
my
wife. I didn't worry about my guys. I concentrated on how can I help you grow your practice? So you're coming in. How can we work together to grow our practice? Here's what we're going to do. You got to be excited about this. We're so fired up. Okay. Thanks for the support. Thanks for investing in our consultant. We're fired up. This is what we're going to do. This is our plan. I hope you're as excited as we are. And by the way, there's always an ask, and here's our ask this year. Okay.
Okay.
And you can do it out 3 years, you know, whatever it will be to turn him on, do your plan, all sign it in blood that you're going to do it. And then everybody's in and everybody's focused. And then all this others talk doesn't even come up. We're not even going to, it doesn't even come in our head for 5 years or whatever.
Okay. So, I have a question for you, Rob. Barry and I had a conversation with, Barry's best client, maybe a week ago or so. And I felt that it was one of the best conversations that we've had with him in a long time. And I felt like he was really starting to get it and really starting to understand and trust the process and what we were doing. And he's kind of a skeptical guy by nature, but I really thought he was kind of buying in heavy. And something that Barry and I were discussing was he's Barry's best client, $100,000 a year in revenue, very strong personal relationship. Their kids are, you know, kids are friends, you know, known the whole family, had dad's money. We have almost all of his money. Never given us a referral. Only once, I think, put us in front of the board, Barry. Or, you know,
yeah.
Put us in front of the
board. But I also don't think he's a very social person, to be honest with you. I don't think he really is out there. I think he's involved in certain charities, but I don't feel that Neil has the comfort level to ask. I don't know. He's given us little referrals. I mean, Dottie's, you know,
nothing.
100-year-old
aunt.
You know, he's tried. He gave us one referral once, but it didn't work out. He's tried a little bit, but not a lot. And he did give us back $1.5 million, which turned into $1.5 million that we clawed back that he had moved about 3 years ago, Rob.
That's great.
Right. We pulled it back here.
I feel like right now, Rob, we're in a situation where relationship-wise and performance-wise and communication-wise, we've done a really good job with our clients, and we're in a position right now where I don't feel like we've ever been in a stronger position as a team to ask for referrals or ask for new business. So I'm not one that's into, you know, campaigns or that kind of stuff, but like I feel like we need to strike, you know, like we got to strike while the opportunity is there.
Right.
So I think that we as a team can all go back and reread the section on BPSA, you know, and that chapter on the BPSA process, because I think right now that's probably the most immediate way to get referrals for us due to the current coronavirus situation. It would be a direct word-of-mouth referral from a client to a friend who may be expressing frustration with their advisor. Or maybe their advisor's just, you know, taking the last 6 months off to fish and golf or whatever, which I'm sure people have. You know, in terms of what you've seen as a group, if we were to focus our efforts on that right now, you know, do you think that revisiting the VISA process would be the best path for us to take? Or do you think that maybe there's another option that we should look at?
I mean, look, there's probably never been a better time to prospect, right? I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's inconvenient to prospect, but there's never been a better time. There's never been more disparity between the future teams and the past teams. So there's marketing internally, which we've talked about. You got two prongs there. One is demonstrate your team as a great team by giving your clients 12-4-2 so that other teams want to merge with you and retire, right? So you buy retired teams, but you don't want to buy shit teams. You want to buy teams where their clients are good and would be more like Barry's client with 100 million, right? So, but they will come to you if they think you take extraordinary care of clients, because that's in the end what they really care about, somebody that's going to take good care of their clients. Second, your marketing internally with your investment process. Two great ideas, okay? Externally, what you want to do is become experts in the market. Performance is terrific, okay? And your performance is excellent. But you want other people telling your story. So one of the things that I recommend is doing some webinars where you can have somebody else talk about how great you are. Okay? And you talk about how great they are. And then people want to be referred to you. You know, then they want to meet you. Then they want to come to you. So you can do it in a couple different ways. One of them would be to do get together with your centers of influence and talk about doing a joint webinar where you highlight the strengths of each other and you talk about some great strategy like, I don't care, you know, Roth IRAs or, you know, why it makes sense to do those now or why it makes sense to do this. The future, you know, after the election, what could we do estate planning wise now that we have, even though, you know, all these things aren't going to get passed tomorrow, but there's 4 years of drumbeat going to drive this particular change in the tax laws. And we want to get ahead of it. So you get together with an estate planning attorney. It's good for them and it's good for you. They mail to their people that they're going to be doing a webinar. You mail to your people. You're going to be doing a webinar email. And then you get them together and you use LinkedIn and you ask him or her, whoever it is, to share the invitation and that, and then you go to your clients, your best clients, and you ask them to share the invitation with their LinkedIn memberships. And so now instead of getting 30 people on the LinkedIn call, you've got 150 and they're people that don't know you. And they talk about, and the CPA talks about how wonderful you guys do. Okay. Your performance is terrific. You have some interesting strategies as well as, you know, you give 1242 and rapid response to problems and do excellent financial planning. And anyway, does a little commercial for you and then you do a little commercial for him or her. And then you talk about the concept. If you did one of those every other month, you're going to set people up to be easily referred to you. And they're going to want to know you and meet you. So that's one way, right? So we had two ways internally. This is a one way externally. So you're using your centers of influence. You could use your niches, but if you don't have big niches, then just focus on your existing clients and getting them to do this. Second is to go to your best clients and explain to them what you're doing, how you're doing it, why you're doing it, and that you're going to be taking on 7 new families next year and that you would love to be introduced to somebody that would value this as much as you have valued it. So you use the VIPSA process. What is it that you valued from your experience with us this year? And they go, or what are the 3 things that you valued the most from your experience this year? And they go, boom, boom, and boom. And then you just go right into it and say, let's do a little brainstorming. How are we going to brainstorm? What we're going to brainstorm about people that would value this as much as you have. We're going to start with this group and then this group and then this group. And use those concentric circles. You practice it until you get good with it and you're willing to do it. And then you do it. So you're right. Those are the 4 ways that I think you can bring in $100 million. Easy. Easy. You can probably bring in $200 million. You should be able to bring in at least $100 million internally and $100 million externally. If you use those 2 things and you did it religiously.
Yeah, I think the repetition is something that needs to happen.
What from the compliance standpoint would be the obstacle?
Are you asking me?
I'm asking Rob.
Well, nothing with the teams internally. You just have to build your brand.
That's easy. It's the webinar.
Webinars are easy. Yeah, just tell them what you're going to talk about and get them to say.
We'd have to get it compliance approved, whatever we spoke about.
Yeah. So you just do it 2 months in advance for each of the webinars you're doing.
I'm just trying to think to think it out through a process.
So Yeah, Larry, I think we just have to have the topic approved, and then we may have to have an approved presentation about something.
Right.
Whether it be maybe the Morgan Stanley tax code or, you know, what they say. Maybe the Morgan Stanley has a presentation on the tax changes or how they could affect things. But we all know that once we get those things rolling, then, you know, we can open up to questions and that can change everything.
Here's what I do. If you and I, Ryan, we're going to do this, right? And you're going to talk about me, right? You're going to email to all your FA friends and say, look, Rob and I are going to have a fireside chat today about my practice, and Rob's going to talk about his practice and how we're marketing in the COVID environment, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I tell you, Ryan, send me 5 questions that you have the answers to that you want me to ask you that make you look good. And then I'd say, okay, Ryan, I'm sending you 5 questions I want you to ask me that make me look good.
Okay.
And that's all we do. If you have more time, you ask 7 questions. Now, so 5 would be perfect for you guys. During the webinar, during the Zoom webinar, you get the names over here, right? Over on the side, everybody asks questions and they write in. We don't unmute them. They just ask questions. Mm-hmm. They write in their questions and then you and I answer the questions. You know, here's a question from Bob in Minnesota. Okay. Bob writes question and then here's the answer. I take it or you take it or whatever. And that makes it very interesting, by the way.
I'm going to interject. I haven't talked to the team about this yet, but there's an interesting opportunity that just happened. The advisor that we've helped out the most, I would say, is the guy Sandy, who's doing around 200,000. He's going to be closing it. Most of it's going to be.
You're breaking up.
Sorry, he's going to be. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to be closing in on about 20 million in managed, going from about 2 last year, maybe 4 to 20 with us mainly in the last year and a half. His cousin just joined the firm from UBS with another big producer from UBS, and Sandy's largest client happens to be friends with Sandy's cousin's partner. So we now have a situation where Sandy's largest client is buddies with this guy and the other guy is Sandy's cousin. So we have what I believe would be a very easy introduction into this team that just came to our firm from UBS and appears to be noticeable. You know, how would you suggest we approach that team? From a standpoint.
Zoom introduction.
I'm sorry?
A Zoom introduction.
Okay. Zoom introduction. All right.
That's the way I want all these introductions to be done. So when somebody somehow, you know, like that's what I did for my guys, right? So for Bill Cates, I had one guy that was great. He just wanted to ask everybody for a referral, but he was terrible at practicing. So I said, hire Bill and learn the words. He wouldn't learn them with me. You know, so I said, hire Bill. So I did a Zoom introduction between Bill Cates and this FA. And Bill took him on as a client. And I'm not, you know, trying to milk every cent out of every person. I don't care if Bill gets some business. And then Bill sent me a couple introductions. But we did it with Zoom. So I taught him how to do it with Zoom, right? He's a referral coach, and I'm showing him how to do an introduction with Zoom. Now, let me tell you something. The probabilities of closing when you do a Zoom introduction go up like 100%. Why?
Okay.
Because instead of giving a name and a phone number and nobody ever calls, or hoping somebody calls, or an email introduction and nobody calls, versus a Zoom introduction, which is, okay, this is it. Are we good? Next steps, next steps, next steps, okay? I step off as the guy introducing him, but those guys ended up talking, getting to know each other, and closing. So it's a much more serious thing, right? It means I'm serious, you're serious, and the other party's serious. This isn't just a BS, you know, introduction that makes you feel good. This is for real.
Okay.
So remember, the key to getting introductions is giving them. So the more introductions you can give, the more you're going to get. The theme is give to givers. Give to people that are willing to give, that like you, trust you, and want to help you. And you give them as many introductions as you can so they get used to giving you introductions.
Okay.
And you know, Barry, you're good at making friends. The easiest introductions are always between friends. When it's just business, it's harder. But when they really like you and want to help you, then introductions come much easier.
Okay.
I feel like the Zoom really puts the lack of face to face does make it harder. I feel that way.
Yeah. It's harder, but everybody has quit. That's the good news. Because it's harder, everybody quit, right? Everybody's out of the business. Everybody went and played golf. So if you're still in business and you want to do business, people are like, I'm in business. I want to do business. Let's do it. What you'll find is that it's so convenient. You don't have to go to New York. You know, you make that regular trip to New York every year. You don't have to make that trip. You can do it on Zoom. And you can get referrals. So easy compared to Zoom. You can start a mastermind group so easily on Zoom. No effort. No trip, no dinner, no 3 hours. You can do it like that. So don't use excuses. These are just... Look, we all want to make excuses for why things don't work. Try it. You'd be surprised. It'll work. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Made me so mad the other day. My brother said, you know what? I'm ready to start this project. Are you still in? I said, Rick, that was eight months ago. I'm involved in four more different things than that. I've moved on. You get it started. Let me know how you're doing. I'll check in. His excuse was Zoom. You know, I mean, his excuse was COVID. He couldn't do it because of COVID. He couldn't go see people. I'm like, that's such a lame excuse.
He was choosing fear over growth, Rob.
He was choosing laziness over growth. He's a lazy human being. he's lazy. He's just lazy. And now he's ready to go. Oh yeah, I'm all fired up. Well, how long will that last? 5 minutes? Then he'll have another excuse. I love my brother, but he's full of them.
Oh, they look.
Yeah, I don't take any bullshit from my brother. He's, you know, he was in the business for 35-40 years and he was good at it, but that didn't mean he was aggressive. He wasn't. He was very placid. Anyway, enough. You got it?
Yep. I think we have a couple things to focus on.
Operate as if everyone is going to say yes. Okay, so all your plans are is everybody's going to say yes. Everybody's going to give you introductions. Your manager's going to say yes. The other teams are going to say yes. When you ask for more assets, they're going to say yes. Operate with yes in mind and next step. Yes, next step. Yes, next step. Be prepared for the next step. Okay. Don't get sucked into all the reasons the no's are going to come. We'll get plenty of those. We don't have to make them up. Okay?
Okay.
Have fun. You'll be amazed. You'll get a lot more yeses than you expect. And nice job, Tim, being on time, buddy. On time. What was it? On time is late. If you're not on time, you're late. If you're not early. No, if you're not early, you're late, right?
Bill Parcells.
That's right.
5 minutes early is on time.
Right. Got it.
Guys, let's regroup after this as well.
Okay, have fun now. Make it fun.
Thanks.
Enjoy.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye.